the show. This is a continuation of kind of what we were doing last week. Well, it is exactly what we were doing last week in celebration of the UNCRC, which is the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child. That convention is turning 20 years old on the 20th of November. Last week, we went over kind of the history of it. We said exactly how it had come to be in the world and the UN. We went through the different elements or the different kind of iterations that it has been through from the early 1900s all the way up to what we have today is the UNCRC. And now, for today's show, we're going to be going over how the UNCRC looks today. We're going to be going over some specific ones, and we're also going to be talking about how they relate to foster youth. And we're going to be talking about how they are in what they look like in Canada, and some kind of important issues on what's been going on lately in the news and things that happen every day in Canada and what that means for Canadians.
Also, I think it'd be pretty cool if we were to weigh in on what our favorite right is.
That's a good idea. We should get that in. All right, so we're going to begin the discussion of the UNCRC by looking at the way that it looks in Canada and what it is for Canadians currently, kind of. We went over, kind of, like I said, how the convention has come to be what it is. Now we're going to be looking at kind of what it is in Canada. In the United States, it hasn't been ratified, and that means that it hasn't been accepted as kind of general policy.
I was kind of thinking, I'm like, I know maybe we've accepted it in Canada, but we still don't have national standards for youth and care. You know, we as much as we talk about these things as being conventions, that's what they are. They're conventions. They're
right.
Not laws. And it sucks kind of that, you know, even though if we've ratified it, it's kind of like a lot of other things that, you know, countries ratify, like NAFTA, or sorry, not NAFTA. What's the goofy one with the environment?
It's true. It hasn't been fully implemented in Canada. It's been accepted, it's been ratified in Canada, but it has not been fully accepted and has not been fully implemented into basically all standards of Canadian life. And those are some of the issues that we're going to be going over today, where kind of those differences are and what that means for Canada, basically. One of the things that I'd point out is, for instance, one of the most primary things, Article number 4, which is basically Article number 4 and number 20 or 42 as well. But Article 4 states that government should make these rights available to youth and to everyone, basically. And that's true. I found them on the internet. They are available. I'm sure they're in libraries. They are available to people. But Article 42 says the government should make the convention known to all parents and children.
Well, for me, that's making it available to you. Like, making your rights available to you isn't just telling you or posting them somewhere you could find them so you could say,
right.
Oh, I have rights. Great.
Mm-hmm.
It's implementing them into policies and practices so that you're constantly surrounded by your rights. In other words, we know, people seem to, for the most part, know that they have the ability to speak freely. But, you know, that's not the kind of thing that, you know, happened by just posting it up on, you know, a bulletin where people could, if they wanted to, take a look at it. I mean, it's always talked about, oh, no, you have the right to free speech, free speech, free speech. You hear it enough, and then people understand it. But I don't think that we get enough saturation some of this stuff. Either way.
Well,
I mean,
that's Article number 42, which says the government should make the convention known to all parents and children. And I'm assuming that everyone under the sun is either a parent or a child, and therefore should be known to everyone. So it should be known to everyone, and the government should work to that end. Let me ask Amanda. Amanda, had you seen any of these before? Had you seen the UNCRC at all before
No.
today?
No.
Or do you hear it talked about? Like, do you ever
No.
hear it referred to by anybody?
No.
Never in your years of being in care. Has anyone maybe mentioned this specific document?
No. Not that I can remember, no.
I see. And so for a country that is supposed to have implemented this and ratified these conventions, you don't know about it. In fact, I didn't know about it until I started researching it for these shows. I had never heard of it. I mean, I'm not a foster youth, but it says all parents and children. And I'd never heard of these, and these rights do apply to everyone. That's right number one, in fact, is that they apply to everyone under the age of 18 has every right in this convention.
That's right. So it's not an exclusive to young people in care. We just, you know, young people in care are a marginalized group who are often devoid of the knowledge and or their rights. So it's just that we're trying to target the group of marginalized people.
Mm-hmm.
And say, like, look, you know, you guys do have rights, but yeah, like, this is supposed to apply to absolutely every child. This is the Convention on the Rights of the Child,
mm-hmm.
not of foster children.
Personally, I have seen this in only one location, at least throughout my time. I had a teacher in high school who had it posted on the wall in a very child-friendly way, but it was kind of posted high up. No one could touch it. And it was posted in a corner, so no one would pay attention to it. And me being distracted all the time in class managed to pay attention to it. So I have read a little bit of it on the wall there, but no.
Well, that's kind of what Shimon was talking about earlier, is that it goes beyond just posting it on the wall. It just goes beyond posting on the internet or making it available in the library for people to seek out. People have to have it made known to them.
I think it should be taught in school. The reason that we know that we have the right to free speech is you learn that in school. Someone says to you, you have the right not to, you know, whatever. You know, you have, you learn things like, oh, you have the right to liberty and all this other things. I think that this should be the kind of thing that, as a child in school, someone should say, these are your rights. This should be the kind of thing where you sing songs about it and you learn about it. And even in kindergarten, a kid should be able to go home and say, Mom, did you know that I have the right to participate? Like, you know, that's the kind of thing that would allow this to become common practice, so that people grow up and they go, you know, oh, what do you mean someone told you you weren't allowed to participate? That's actually a violation of your rights. In fact, we learned that in school. Like, it's just that, it's that basic stuff. You need to have it in order to be able to enforce it.
And we're back. CKW, System Kids. We are continuing our discussion on UNCRC, Rights of the Child, which is the Convention on the Rights of the Child. By the UN, the United Nations, of course. We're going to keep going right along, and it's basically we have other things to discuss. Article 6 and Article 24, if you have a look at them, basically it says here that everyone has a right to life. Government should ensure that children survive and develop healthily. And also Article 24, which states that you have the right to good quality health care and clean water, nutritious food, clean environment, so that you can stay healthy. It also says that rich countries should help poorer countries with this. But the issue here is not with poor countries; it's with Canada, as a matter of fact. And I think that a lot of cases, people aren't getting this. I look specifically at the case. I saw an article, I think it was in the Manitoban, a few weeks ago, about the cost of necessities in northern communities and on reserves. A 4-liter jug of milk is, I think, $13.99, which is more than I make in an hour. And I don't imagine that wages are great up there. So it's unfortunate that people have to work 2 hours or, you know, an hour and a half at least to buy a bottle or a jug of milk. So is this meeting people's rights in Canada? I mean, are we able to provide for children if it's going to take someone an hour and a half of their day to buy a jug of milk? Is that providing the necessities of life, according to this UNCRC?
I don't think it's, you know, it's an excellent situation, but, I mean, it goes with so many other issues. I mean, it's, you know, it takes so much cost to get those supplies up there, which increase the cost of the milk and other things like bread and meat and things like that. And they do raise the wages up there, but it's, I mean, they raise the wages because everything else is so expensive around them. They have to work a lot harder and a lot longer to afford the basic things, but it really begs the question of, you know, what can the government do for that? I mean, they do choose to live up there.
Well, what if you're born in a northern community? Do you choose to grow up there? Like, did you choose where you were born?
No.
Okay.
Yes.
Amanda was very selective.
Well, but that's a good point. And then those people who allegedly have the choice to live up there, do they have the choice to move down here at a whim? I mean, things are cheaper. Why wouldn't they?
Well, and do they have the resources to move down here? Is there the support to move down here? Is there any reason? Do we have a job for people to move down here?
Exactly.
Milk is cheaper.
Milk is cheaper.
But that's where the choice lies. I mean, do they really have that freedom to move down here whenever they want?
No. Does anyone really have the freedom to move wherever they want to? I mean, excluding those who, you know, have money and can do what they want with it. I mean, as a student, I'm with someone with a lower income, I don't have the freedom to move, you know, where I'd like to. I'm forced to stay where I can afford to stay.
It's a good point. But I think with the UNCRC, what we're looking at are specifically children. And I know that children don't have, I can almost guarantee that every youth under 18 who might want to leave doesn't have the means to do it. So, they really don't have that freedom. I mean, it's not an amount of really working harder. It's not an amount of saving up, really. They don't, I mean, children, especially under 15, maybe don't, or under 16, they don't even have the right to move out. Or, I mean, they could, but they're not going to. They just don't have the means. They don't own things that they can move out with, for example. So I think that, you know, when people are stuck in those situations, charging them outlandish prices for the necessities, which I consider milk to be, is not providing an environment conducive to healthy living. And that goes for our children as well as everyone else who lives on reserves and or in communities.
No, I definitely agree. I really think that, you know, that there needs to be a way where these things can be provided for them at a lower or reduced cost than what they're paying now. I mean, it should be, I think prices for things like milk, eggs, bread, things like that should be, you know, kind of equalized across the province and potentially across to Canada so that everyone's paying the same price. But it's just you have to look at, you know, what does that entail? That entails, you know, companies and people losing money for shipping it up there. I mean, or
you have the government subsidize that shipping cost, just as a side thought.
Well, yeah, that's very true, but I mean, you have to look at where that money's coming from. But
right. But if we want to sanction this, if we want to sanction the UNCRC, if we want to, we have ratified it, which means it is a part of Canadian, I guess, law. But it's not being implemented. I mean, obviously, this. I mean, we say we wonder where the money's going to come from, and that's a valid concern. But if we want to ratify something like this, then that shouldn't be a concern. We've already signed on. We need to fulfill these things, and you know, it says right here that we haven't fully implemented it. But and this is one of the things that we haven't fully implemented. We should be doing it.
I got a question.
Yeah.
How about a favorite one? I mean,
right.
Favorite, like not favorite, like oh, it'd be so much fun, but like. Something that you can identify with where you're like, I am so glad I have that right. If I had to pick a favorite one of those. And for that, I mean, Avi, you're joining us here. You might want to look him over. But for me, Article 5 just jumps out at me right away. Government should respect the rights and responsibilities of family to direct and guide their children so that they, that as they grow, they learn to use their rights properly. That's like, it's really, really wordy way of saying, like, you should be a good parent, in a way, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're like, teach your kids their rights, and then help them as they grow to understand and be able to use those rights. That just seems like that's the kind of thing that prevents family breakdown. So for me, that's my favorite.
So when families break down, you're saying that parents aren't meeting the UNCRC?
I would say yes.
That's a good point.
Yeah,
it's an interesting perspective on it. I wouldn't have thought of that, and it's a very important right.
I would have to say number 12, if I had to. One. Just, it says you have the right to say what you think should happen when adults are making decisions that affect you, and to have your opinion taken into account. I like that. I like that you have to be able to speak. I don't feel that when I was younger, when I was in care, that I had the right, and now as an adult, I wish I had that right.
See, I really like that too. I think if I had to have a second favorite or like a co-favorite, that would probably be it. That's like the tenet of youth engagement right there. Like, the fundamental idea
yeah.
of, like, if you're going to do something that is going to affect your child, let them have some sort of input. And, like, that's not a parenting thing, like, you know, when you're if you're going to change your infant's diaper, like, ask them what color they like. This is about even little things. As a child grows, you help them grow, not by making decisions for them, but by helping them make healthy decisions.
Right. And I think it's important to make the distinction there that the youth or the child doesn't have control over what happens to them because often they don't understand the ramifications of whatever decision is being made, often for them. But it's definitely important, like it says here, to consult them and to ask their opinion on what they think should happen to them. It's a very important right, and it's really about children having a voice about what happens to them. And even if they, you know, may not understand it, like I was saying, that they are heard and understood and maybe have whatever's happening to them explained in a way that maybe they would understand. So I think that kind of goes hand in hand with it.
No, I definitely agree with that. I do have a favorite one. Article 31, you have the right to relax, play, and join in a wide range of activities. And I think this one goes beyond just, you know, letting kids have a good time every now and then. It's really just letting kids be kids, letting kids enjoy and have a childhood. So much of a young person's life is spent being stressed about, you know, what's going to come tomorrow and what's going to come the next day. For someone who's, you know, 12 or even, you know, 16, 17 years old, there needs to be that time to just relax and be a kid, because once you turn 18, everyone around you, at least in legal sense, says you're not a kid anymore. And, you know, it's really almost, you know, stolen away from you, that sense of freedom and that sense of childhood.
Yeah, this was one of the ones that Amanda was a little confused by. She was a little thrown off by what it means to have a right to relax. Mm-hmm. It's not something that you would think of, really, having the right to relax and having the right to play. And having the right, it often says to meet, Article 15 is to meet with other children and young people and join groups and organizations, so sports and this type of thing. I mean, there are countries around the world that don't have those rights, where children aren't given that freedom to play. It's definitely detrimental to the growth, especially as they get older, because mm-hmm. if they never had that time to relax, I mean, we've seen through, I don't know, I guess a million Hollywood thrillers, I'm not going to say that it's true, but people who have troubled youth or troubled childhood because they don't have a chance to play. Often, you know, take that out in strange ways. Michael Jackson, for example.
That is a very, you know, extreme case. But it's just the thing, like, if a child is, you know, forced to work at a young age, then they're not a child. They're just a small adult who, you know, is just following, just falling into that bracket of, you know, no one who has fun. And, you know, fun is so important. Definitely even just relaxing, having time to just sit and just be.
Yeah. And we're back on System Kids on CKUW 95.9 FM. This is kind of one that you had brought up. This was kind of your favorite article, which is Article 12, which is you have the right to say what you think should happen when adults are making decisions that affect you and have your opinions taken into account. Are foster youth actually consulted about the decisions that affect them? Are they
really sat down and saying, here are your rights?
No, not necessarily. I mean, they should be. We already went over that. No, that doesn't happen.
No.
I mean, at best, Avi had these rights posted in his classroom and never went over them.
Mm-hmm.
But are you basically, let's say you're being moved from one foster home to another, or from basically like one temporary place to another, mm-hmm. something like that. Or a group home to another, say. Are you consulted about it?
No.
Okay. Are you told in advance?
Maybe. Sometimes I was. There was this one time where my social worker came in and moved me right on the spot. I didn't expect it. She just said, we're taking you. She took me out of school. And then I moved from the city to the country in a placement. And it was so spontaneous. I was devastated.
Well, I could see why.
Because of my friends. My friends, like, I clearly remember I was, like, crying, and then all my friends were trying to stop my social worker, and there was, like, my group of friends in a circle trying to protect me. And it was like, no, we're taking you away.
Well, I can see why they'd want to protect you.
I know.
But, I mean, obviously how'd you feel you were...
Devastated. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, obviously you're devastated to be uprooted just suddenly and with no foreseeable reason.
No reason.
And, you know, you just taken and then you're not given, not consulted about it, talked to about it. That goes against your rights. I mean, this isn't a unique case either. You're not the only one who've had that happen to you, are you? No, I mean, I'm sure if Shimon was here, he would say the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Because this is, I mean, it is a problem. It's important, again, to realize that with Article 12, children need to be consulted about the decisions that affect them and have their opinions taken into account. That doesn't mean that children get to make their decisions.
No, but I also think, though, like, if I can think of some past things, though, I think that I may have had my opinion heard, but did they believe me? No. You know, like, okay, so in that one case, let's say, they did listen to my opinion, but they did not believe me because I was the child.
Well, yeah, I mean...
I was not the adult, so obviously I can't know right from wrong, but when I knew what was wrong, they did not believe me.
But there's a difference between listening and hearing, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can yell at them until you're blue in the face about how you don't want to go, and they'll just tune it out and keep going on with moving you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or they could sit down with you and think, like, talk to you about what you think about the move, maybe if you have any alternate solutions for why they're moving you, because they they should be explaining why they're doing this. Mm-hmm. Maybe, I don't know what it could be. Maybe they have a better placement. Maybe there's maybe they need more room somewhere. Maybe they think you'd be better suited somewhere else. But they need to explain their reasoning so you understand it, at least why it's happening. They mm-hmm. shouldn't just be uprooting you. No. It doesn't make any sense, and it goes against your rights. And like I said, I mean, you're not a single case.
No.
You know, this happens, I'm sure it's happening.
Many, many cases.
To a lot of foster youth today. Yeah. You know, about that they're being uprooted and, you know, not necessarily that they can stop it, but that they have to understand why, and they have to have their opinions not just heard, but listened to mm-hmm. and understood why they want to stay. I mean, friends is a great reason. I mean, there are rights in here that say that you should be able to meet, here, you have the right, this is Article 15, I go back to it again, you have the right to meet with other children and young people and to join groups and organizations. I mean, yes, you can still meet with other young people wherever you're moving to, but do you know them really? I mean, sure, you can join their organizations, but you're already being ripped out of the ones that you just joined.
Yeah.
So...
But that's like that, and that's a good example, is because I don't think I have a solid best friend, because I was moved. So I would be... try to make friends and get comfortable. Yeah, that'd be easy. But you don't keep true friends. Like, you know, you hear, oh, I was friends since kindergarten. Or you don't, because they just take you. They up and take you.
Right.
And then you lose contact. And
yeah. Well, it's unfortunate. I mean, that shouldn't be happening.
Friends. Oh, gotta have them.
We're going to go over Article 18 and Article 26 as well. I wanted to talk about basically governments providing for parents. Kind of wanted to know if you have any experience with Canada kind of doing this. What it is, Article 18 states that both parents share responsibility for bringing up their children. They should always consider what is best for each child. And government should help parents by providing services to support them. Now, I know that does happen, and I know that Child and Family Services does have things like that, where they will support parents instead of taking the children away. But also, Article 26 is the government should provide extra money for the children and families in need. I don't know if you have any experience with either of those things, but I want to know if what Canada was doing was enough, or anything like that.
Oh, I don't have experience.
No.
No.
It also says here, Article 41 is, if the laws of a particular country, and in this case Canada, mm-hmm. protect you better than the articles of the convention, then those laws should stay. And I wanted to know if you could think of any laws that are better than what's in the UNCRC. And it would be fine if you can't, because apparently we've ratified this, and this is now Canadian law. Okay. But I would really like to know. I mean, there are a few places, for instance, Ontario. Mm-hmm. Ontario has the youth doesn't end at age 18 in Ontario. It says here, Article 1, everyone under the age of 18 has all the rights of this convention. Well, in Ontario,
it's not.
You would be up to 19, which would protect you better than this UNCRC. However, I don't think that there are many things outside of that that do. In fact, I know that when we covered the different agencies across Canada, that I think in none of it, the age when children are out of care, 16, or out of foster care, is 16.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's another case when we're not even meeting the very first right of the article of the convention. So,
then which one are we going to follow, right?
I know. And like, this is supposed to be indivisible. Mm-hmm. And what that means is that if all of these rights aren't being met, or all of these rights aren't being observed, then it doesn't do any good, because if one of these rights is missing, then they might as well be.
Yeah.
And it's a good point, because, I mean, if you have one of your rights taken away, it doesn't really matter which one it is, but it's a basic human right, especially for these children, and for the children, and you can't take it away, whether it's the right to speech, or the right to life, or the right mm-hmm. to education, or the right to be protected from drugs and crime and that type of thing. These are all rights, and it doesn't matter which one is not being followed. If any one of them is not being followed, it still compromises the entirety of the document.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can't really think of many laws in Canada that are better than the ones outlined in the UNCRC.
These are some good ones.
Mm-hmm. And
these
are
some good laws.
I would honestly rather see us follow the UNCRC more closely mm-hmm. than have things like, you know, the UNCRC rights cover all the way to an extra year of being 19. in Ontario. I mean, that's I guess that's just my personal opinion, but I'd rather see...
That would be good.
Mm-hmm, I'd rather see us follow these rights closer than having maybe the care extended.
Or yeah, and that would be even them, like, combining the rights, you know?
Mm-hmm.
To, for example, for the 18, to bump it up to 19. So not making them separate, but making them all one, because now it is a Canada. So... For example, Ontario, they have it for 19, so bump it up for the rest of the country.
Right.
Know?
If they made it standard, that would be better, too.
Yeah.
We talked about that in when we looked at the different systems across Canada. That's that was one of the really important points that we brought up, was that it would be better to have national standards.
Mm-hmm.
But that is a discussion for another week.
Yeah.
This is not to say that Canada doesn't do everything pretty well.
No.
They do a few things very well, and we will get to them in just a minute. First, we're going to take a quick break. So as we were saying, as we were just about to get into before the break, Canada does meet a couple of the UNCRC articles pretty well. I think it's pretty much generally accepted on a few of these. I mean, it is open for debate, and you could make the case against it, but I think that in the most cases, we're doing relatively... Yeah, we're doing relatively well on a few of these things.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, Article 17 is, you have the right to reliable information from the mass media. Television, radio, and newspapers should provide information that you can understand and should not promote materials that could harm you. So I think we do a pretty good job. Our news media is reliable. I mean, you could argue that we're doing better than the States. We don't have Fox News, although you could tune in if you so chose. But we, you know, don't have that type of propaganda. Article 28, which is you have the right to an education. Discipline in schools should respect children's human dignity. And primary education should be free. Wealthy countries should help poorer countries achieve this. I mean, well, for that last line there, wealthy countries should help poorer countries achieve this. We're doing that in Afghanistan. We're building schools. We are fighting. I mean, yes, it's a war that we're fighting, but we're also helping to build that community.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we can't help everywhere at the same time. Yes, we're helping Africa as well. We're doing a lot in the world, so I think we're doing that. But right here at home, I think a lot of people have quality educations. Again,
mm-hmm.
Again, we're doing better than the States, not to compare us to them. But I mean, that's if you want to look at our closest neighbor, yes, we're higher on, we have a better education. You know, and primary education is free. I mean, yes, you pay with your taxes.
Mm-hmm.
You do pay for your taxes, but that's, you know, that is a part of living in Canada and being a Canadian citizen, just like you pay for the roads. Yeah, I mean, just like you pay for everything else that's a public service, in a way. But I think that, you know,
it's important.
Mm-hmm, we get a lot of bang for our buck on in terms of the education, and discipline in schools does respect children's human rights in most cases. Do you have anything to say about that?
No, I agree completely with you.
You agree?
On
okay.
Everything, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that I haven't had any issues where I think my rights were violated in school at all,
no.
Or my rights were neglected.
They always push for school. You
mm-hmm.
know, that's the thing, is they always try and make it where it's encouraged to go.
Right.
And yeah.
That's another good point, is that they do their best to make everyone encouraged to go and like enjoy it. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and want to go.
It.
Yeah, and want and complete it exactly.
Yeah, and they yeah.
The last, well, there's a few that Canada does well, but I think that these ones, like I said, they do particularly well. Article 36, which is you should be protected from any activities that could harm your development. There are a few other ones here that come right before it. For example, the government should provide ways of protecting you from dangerous drugs. The government, so I mean, there's tons of examples. Winnipeg Health Organization, I mean, people, I mean, we have rigorous screening of medical drugs. We also have we keep dangerous drugs illegal. It also says here, you know, you should protect children from sexual abuse and protect everyone from sexual abuse. I think that, you know, there are cases of that, but this goes back to, you know, just generally protecting from any activities that could harm your development. And I think that the law system in Canada it does a successful job with that. It's the police, it's you know, the way that people are raised, and it's related to poverty, and yes, that does cause some issues like crime and so, but I think that
they have those downtown biz walkers, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That help.
And it does have a good, basically, I think Canada does a good job of, say, here, it says the government should ensure that you're not abducted or sold. I haven't been abducted or sold. I haven't heard of this being an issue. I mean, yeah, people do get stolen. I haven't heard of it in Canada in the last couple of years. But I think that these are things, I think we can come to a general agreement that this is something that Canada does pretty well in terms of protecting its citizens.
And they have, and I see that there's a lot of community help to have them involved so that the crimes and the being sold and all those other things don't happen. And there's more of a community help and to keep them safe. And yeah.
Okay. Well, we have come to the end of our show. Well, is there anything...
It's that time.
I know.
Wow.
I want to know, I mean, this is the first time that you've seen these. Mm-hmm. We've gone over why that's bad and why that it violates your rights, why that goes against your rights. But I want to know, now that you've had a chance to read them over and we've talked about them a bit, do you have anything to say about the UNCRC? What do you think of it?
I like it. It's very interesting, and I was shocked because I've never read this. And there's a lot of things I didn't know. And I have learned. And I will be able to take with me.
I know. One day we hope that everyone will know these rights in school. Like Shimon was saying, they should be taught.
And it's not like it's boring. It is your human rights. But it's interesting. Because you never know. As you said earlier, I was shocked by how Article 31, you have the right to relax, play, and join in a wide range of activities. I didn't know that you had to relax, have right to relax, but hey, that's awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
I get to relax, and no one can stop me.
All right, well, we are going to go relax now as it is the end of our
show.
And
eat.
And eat.
I'm hungry.
It's a big deal around these parts, eating. All right, so this has been another wonderful episode of System Kids. Join us next week from 5 to 6 p.m. on Tuesday on CKUW 95.9.